Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. The same God who wove music into the very universe has woven that music into our hearts, and we come to hear both of those today.
Thank you.
Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time, welcome. We who are here week in and week out would love to meet you and offer you an individual word of welcome. So we're going to seek out folks we don't know and shake your hand and invite you to be involved more in this church. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come to us. Find someone you don't know, which, if it's your first visit, should be pretty easy, and introduce yourselves to us, because we would love it if you would find a home here with us. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. We have a bulletin insert that is absolutely full of opportunities. I'm just going to list a couple of things briefly here. First of all, don't forget that Jonathan Carl's farewell concert / service is this afternoon here in the sanctuary at 4:30 p.m. Jonathan has been a very dedicated member of this congregation and our choir, and though he is a member of the Tennessee Conference, we are sending him as a missionary to Memphis. So he will be serving a church in Memphis, in the Memphis Conference, and we wish him all of God's blessings. He has been a blessing to us, and we know he will be a blessing to those who receive him as he comes as their pastor. Also, don't forget that we are having our combined Sunday school class between services. Next week's topic will be on Christ's invitation to mission. So if you have not been coming, you can join it at any point. You're welcome to come. It's about 9:45 that it begins in McWhorter Hall. Also, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Caitlin Dowling. And Caitlin is our new music intern. She comes to us from Mercer University, and she is a delightful young woman. We look forward to getting to know her better and to work with her over this future time as her colleague and friend. So, Caitlin, welcome and thank you. Did you ever plant a seed or two and, like Jack and the Beanstalk, have a big tree grow up the next morning? Of course you haven't. Doesn't work that way, does it? No, you plant a seed and you cultivate the area, and finally you get a little sprig that comes up and it gets larger and larger and grows, and you water it and you work with it, and it happens over time, right? Sometimes taking longer than you or I think it should. Jesus says that's exactly the way that faith grows in us.
Oh, Give thanks to the Lord. Declare God's steadfast love in the morning and God's faithfulness at nighttime.
The Lord is righteous. God is our rock.
When we gather to worship God, we remember that we are God's people, but we have often preferred our way instead of God's. Trusting God's power to make us new persons in Christ, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, we so often miss your kingdom at work among us. Captivated by power and prestige, we overlook the mustard seeds you have planted all around. Forgive us for failing to notice where and how you are at work. Help us to grow in faithfulness, we pray, so that we might reach our fullest height of faith. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Praise be to God for the mercy and grace that forgives our sins. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Benjamin Bentley and Kate Bentley bring their son, Charles Brannon Bentley, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I have a few questions, Kate and Ben. I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child into Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with community of faith and faith, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. Nurtured in the water of a womb, he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child that receives it, to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, wash away his sin, and that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Charles Brannon. Charles Brannon, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You put your hands on him, we'll pray. Charles Brennan, you being born through water and the Spirit, may the Holy Spirit work within you that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Perfect. Let's go to the center.
Will the congregation please stand and face Charles Brannon? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Charles Brannon to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Charles Brandon, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me as we pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise at night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of heaven, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, feel welcome to come forward. And if you want to bring a parent, that's okay too. Good, thank you. Thank you for coming down. I have a good friend who used to live in Nashville, but doesn't anymore. He lives back in his home in Maine. He's a songwriter. His name is David Mallett. And he wrote a song that you may actually know. I'm going to try to sing it for you, although I'm not a singer. And if you know it, you can sing along. It goes like this. Inch by inch and row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch and row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down. See, Charles Brown was singing with me, right? Thank you, thank you. You know, Jesus says that's the way our faith grows too. We know who it is who blesses those seeds. It's God. And we know who it is who warms the ground and sends the rain. It's God. And the thing about it is that we can help. We can help plant the seed. We can water the seed. We can watch it as it grows up and keep the weeds away from it. We can keep the soil loose around it. We can do a lot to help. But we're not the ones who make it grow. It's God who makes it grow. And that's what Jesus is reminding us of. And my friend Dave knew that too. He knows that too. And so as I talk a little bit more about planting and crops growing and what Jesus said about that, you'll know what I'm talking about, won't you? That's the way our faith grows inside us, little by little, with every act of kindness, every gentle word, every time you do something good for someone else, every time you comfort somebody who's hurting, that love grows and grows. And that's our love for God, because we learned it from God, and our love for our neighbor as well. So I'll talk a little bit more about that, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for allowing us our part in helping you and your love grow inside us. Help us to do everything we can, knowing that you're the one who actually helps us to grow in love, and we depend on you for everything. Thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Many of you already know I grew up in the country, and one of the things we always did was to have a pretty big garden. And we had a variety of things in the garden. In fact, I saw one of my cousins this past week, and she was telling me what they had put out in their early garden. Had a real variety of things. Now, there were parts of that experience of gardening that I really liked, and there were parts of that experience of gardening that I really hated. The part that I really hated involved picking up rocks. We lived on a rocky old hillside, and anytime my dad wanted to punish me or to just get rid of me for a while, he would send me out to pick up rocks. Well, believe me, there is nothing fun about picking up rocks. You pick up a bucket of rocks, you bring them, you throw them on the rock pile, and by the time you get back, there are twice as many rocks as there were when you started. I think that was our most prolific crop all around, rocks. I hated it. I still do. I'm very glad that Jesus didn't say the kingdom of God is like picking up rocks. I probably wouldn't be standing here if he had said that. But there were parts that I liked and liked a lot. For example, when you take several kernels of corn and you put them in the ground and you heal the dirt up around them and you water it and you make sure the weeds, you can take a hoe and make sure the weeds don't grow up around it. If you wait long enough, you'll see a tiny little sprout come up. And day by day, it gets a little bigger and a little taller. It's not like Jack and the Beanstalk. It doesn't grow up all at once overnight. It takes days and weeks. But after a period of time, that kernel that basically died in the earth grew up into a stalk of corn that was taller than I was. And when you pulled the ears off, there were hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of corn kernels just like those I had planted. I recognized as a child that that was a miracle. Sometimes we become so used to these things, we don't recognize how miraculous they are. That you can plant a tiny seed, and that seed essentially dies to give birth to and grow something like itself. And that grows up, and you get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others like that seed you originally planted. It is a miracle. Jesus is talking to his disciples about what it's like to be a part of what God is doing in the world. He calls it the kingdom of God. Okay? And even though Jesus is not a farmer, Jesus is a builder. He's a tecton. Okay? He builds stuff. Here he doesn't say taking part in what God is doing in the world is like building a house. No, he says taking part in what God is doing in the world is like planting seeds. And then you go about your business. You sleep and you go about your daily lives, and day by day you come back, and the miracle of the thing is God has given growth to these seeds you planted. Now, you can help it along, but you're not in control of the process. God is in charge of the process. And pretty soon, you have enough that you harvest the multiplicity of things that have grown from that tiny little seed. And like that corn kernel, Jesus says, if you plant a seed as tiny as a mustard seed, and in that time, that would have been the tiniest seed that he would have been familiar with. If you plant even something that tiny, a huge plant will grow out of it, just like that corn stalk growing out of those kernels. A plant that's as big as a tree, so that the birds can come and roost in it. That's what it's like when we take part in what God is doing in the world. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus as poet, Jesus using metaphor and simile to talk about what God is doing. And this is Jesus using them extraordinarily well. He spoke to them in parables. Parable comes from the Greek term, which means to throw one thing down next to another, which is exactly what a metaphor or a simile is, a comparison. And so, Jesus is talking about how we grow as disciples, and we're not in charge or in control of that process. But with God's help, we do grow in our faith. This past week, we had annual conference at Brentwood United Methodist Church. We had, I thought, a very good conference. We elected delegates to go to our general conference and our jurisdictional conferences, and we did a great deal of business. We had Bible studies. We had other studies. We had worship. And throughout that time, occasionally you would hear mentioned the mission statement of the United Methodist Church. Now, those of you who've been around for a while know that we have a mission statement here. That mission statement says that we are to be the loving light of Christ, connecting others to God and to their neighbors so that God can transform individual lives and communities. That's our local church vision / mission statement. But there's another overarching statement that is in the discipline, that is quoted frequently at Methodist meetings. The vision mission statement of the United Methodist Church is that we make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, it probably won't surprise you that I'm about to quibble with one of the words in the discipline. I've done it before. It may surprise you which word I'm about to quibble with, however. I don't think we make disciples. I don't think anyone makes a disciple, as you would construct a house, as you would make an automobile or a refrigerator or a stove. Now, if you go back to the original word for make, poiesis, it's the same word from which we get poetry, okay? Now, that kind of making I can understand because actually Jesus is talking in parable and metaphor here. But we've lost that sense of making altogether. My fear is that when we say we're making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, we have in our minds a manufacturing process, an assembly line, like the one Henry Ford came up with, like the one that's been a part of our industrial work ever since. And in a way, we think in those terms, don't we? When you're baptized, like Charles Brannan, you go on the conveyor belt, right? And then you go through nursery, and then you go through first grade station, and second grade station, third grade station, fourth, fifth, and sixth is confirmation, and you come out at the end of confirmation a disciple. We've made a disciple. We've manufactured one, right? But we all know it doesn't work that way. As important as every one of those stages is, Charles Brannan is already a disciple. As of today, we have acknowledged God's claim on his life. And so he's not just getting on the conveyor belt. He is a seed that has been planted. And the seed of God's love has been planted in him, just like it has in each and every one of us. And over time, it's our job to nurture that seed, to help with what God is doing. You see, there are a couple of problems with the manufacturing metaphor. First of all, when you manufacture something, you're in control of the process, right? There is a quality control that goes on, and you are in control at each step along the way to make sure that when you get to the end of the assembly line, every single automobile, refrigerator, whatever, looks exactly like every other one. Doesn't work that way with disciples. All you have to do is look around to see the physical variety of disciples we have in the room at the moment, right? We don't all turn out the same. Thank God. That was God's intention that we not turn out all the same. And we are not in control of the process. That too is God's intention. Like the person in Jesus' parable, we plant seeds and we go about our lives and we do what we can to cultivate them, but it is God who gives that growth in all of us. A second problem with the manufacturing image is that there is an end to it. Once you are manufactured as an automobile or a stove or a refrigerator, you don't grow anymore. You are what you will be. You get used, up, and you get discarded. But that's not the way it works with disciples. Because you see, this discipleship that begins actually before we are baptized with God's claim on our lives, never ends. You know how many people we have in this congregation who are in their 90s and some of them past 100 who are still growing as disciples? You can name some of those names, can't you? I won't start naming them in this congregation because I'll leave somebody out. But you know. I will name a colleague and friend who died this past year. Ben Alexander lived well into his 90s, was a pastor, taught a Bible class every week up to the week before his death, and he was not satisfied with simply repeating what he had taught before. He was constantly reading, he was constantly learning, he was constantly challenging himself, he was challenging his class, he was growing as a disciple. You see, I don't think that stops with death. I think when we die and are no longer encumbered with this body and these senses, that we grow in intimacy with God and continue our growth as disciples in that process. In fact, Jesus says, unless a seed dies, the plant cannot grow. And so what Jesus is talking about is a way of being involved in what God is doing in the world that we don't control. There is no end to it, but we do participate in it. And our job is to help cultivate all those seeds that have come our way so that each of us, as seeds, with God's love germinating inside us, can grow into the disciples, the various disciples that we are meant to be. Have you read our welcome statement? It says a little something about why we value this variety. This is not like agribusiness where we keep turning out the same crop year after year after year and depleting the land, having to replace it with chemical fertilizer. No. We practice crop rotation in the United Methodist Church. Now, part of that is preacher rotation. You might consider that fertilizer rotation, right? Or some would say manure rotation. But we also know that people come and go in congregations. And we don't look for sameness. We look for and value the diversity, like a field of flowers, different colors, different varieties. Listen to what we say about ourselves. Everyone is welcome at West End. We are all seeds that God is planting in this garden. We seek to be the loving light of Christ in Nashville and beyond. We gather as the people of God with a wide range of religious backgrounds, education levels, political and theological perspectives, and we value that diversity. We are not trying to turn out cars that all look the same or the same crop year after year after year. We are intentional about being diverse. We welcome and celebrate the gifts God has given to all without regard to gender, race, sexual orientation, economic or family status, ethnicity, or mental or physical ability, or so on and so forth, all of those categories that we may not have thought of. We believe God loves everyone unconditionally. Each of us is a seed, and West End is the garden. I'm not the gardener. I'm just one more seed. Jesus is the gardener. He is the one who showed us how to live into what God is doing in the world, how to grow into what God is doing in the world. He is our example. And how do we grow? Not overnight. It's not immediate, but it is miraculous, just like that corn kernel that turns into a stalk and lots of ears of corn. It is miraculous. We are the garden all together. We are the seeds, and we're called to nurture one another, inch by inch and row by row. That's how God makes this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a little nurturing around the edges, and a piece of fertile ground. That's us. That's this church. Inch by inch and row by row, God will bless these seeds we sow. Already has. God will warm them from below, and God will send the rain tumbling down. Thanks be to God. One way we remind ourselves and nurture ourselves is through telling our story of faith. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And let us nurture one another with this witness together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Everyone is welcome at West End, and we're so thankful that each one of you are here this morning to worship with us. If you are a first-time guest, a special word of welcome is extended to you, and if you would like to join us in Reed Hall for a time of fellowship after the service, you can find it through those doors. If you will notice in the pew rack in front of you, there is a gray card, and on that gray card, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership. On the other side, you can put prayer requests, and we'll be lifting those up throughout the week. Please put those in the offering plate as it comes by. Also, if you'll notice the attendance pad that's in the center of the pew aisle there, if you'll sign the attendance pad and pass it down your row, noting who you're worshiping with, and say a word of welcome to those around you. Our deepest sympathies are extended to John and Deborah Schuler. They are mourning the death of their daughter, Beth Kelly, who died Tuesday, June the 9th. Services for Beth will be June the 20th at 10:30 a.m. in First UMC, Smyrna, Georgia. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God of growth and harvest, thank you for the seeds of your justice and peace. In this time together, touch us, teach us, inspire us to sow those seeds through our ministries. We thank you for those in our world who sow good seed, for those who sow the seeds of practical help, for people who do not know where their next meal is coming from, for those who give seed loans to people who are starting off in business and money to people in crisis, for those who sow seeds of peace, for persons confronting each other in local government and national leaders in conflict. We thank you for those in this church who sow good seed, for clergy and lay leaders who preach, teach, and offer care to the downhearted, for those who encourage and challenge children and youth to serve others and have confidence in their own abilities. We sow good seed so that all may share in creation's abundance, to make true the promise of the kingdom of God, that no one will know scarcity and everyone will have enough. May we grow and harvest in the name of our faithful gardener, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus' teaching gives us many seeds to sow in this community and beyond. It is through our offering that we can nurture these seeds so that all may know God's kingdom.
Now I send you forth in the care of Jesus, our faithful gardener, to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. Know that God, whose field is the very universe in which we live, Jesus, who taught us how to grow in that love of God to its fullest, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in Jesus' way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.